This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
6 years, and it's just really a privilege for me to stand here today. I'm not a pastor or a preacher, I must share with you, it's really been a challenge for me, especially in the beginning when I started preaching. It was really a challenge to stand here and preach before people because, you look at your life and you think, yo, how can I preach to other people, you know? But I'm really just standing here today out of a place of humility and saying, listen, I'm not preaching to you today, I'm preaching to me as well. So, it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to share God's word, and I've really come to love it. You know, God's really placed that loving in my heart for just sharing his word, and that realization of the responsibility also to share God's word. So I'm excited to go into what we're going to talk about today, and yeah. What must I go nog gesê to myself? Okay, that's me. Okay, so yeah, let's keep it simple and keep it to the word. So I also just want to start and say we're in our month of prayer and fasting. It's the first slide that you'll see there. And the theme of this year's convergence is the sound of the harvest. Okay, Johannes shared a bit about that. And just to give a little bit of background of where we've been the last few weeks. Theo was here 2 weeks ago. He spoke about the sound of the lost sheep. Okay, if we go to the parable of the lost sheep, that is basically the basis of what the theme is about this month. So the first one was the sound of the lost sheep. And Theo shared about that, okay? And then Johannes shared last week about the sound of the seeking shepherd. That Jesus is out there looking for the lost sheep. And that he really, truly, 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 truly loves us. That he'll go find you wherever you are. Okay, and today we're going to speak about the sound of rejoicing. So that's what we are going to be speaking about today, and that's the place where the good shepherd finds the sheep, picks him up, and rejoices that he's found the sheep. That sound of rejoicing when we turn to Christ and when people turn to Christ. That's what we're going to speak about today. Okay, so that's just a bit of background. So the sound of rejoicing. Is everybody fine? I don't know, is it cold in Ireland now? Not. Is this cold to you here? It's quite cold to us. Okay, so it's normal, okay. Think about it. You know, if you grow up in Africa and you think about Europe, you always see snow and it's cold and everything. So it's always just such an interesting thing for me. How we can, when you visit that side, you see it's a lot the same. You know, not a lot of difference. Okay, so the joy of the Lord, the sound of rejoicing. That's what we're going to speak about today. Now, I just want to speak about joy a bit. Oswald Chambers is one of my favorite philosophers. And teacher of the Word of God. He said, and I'm going to read it somewhere from the screen, we are not to preach the doing of good things. Good deeds are not to be preached, they are to be performed. Okay, and in the same light of that, I actually just want to speak about joy today. You know, joy is not something that you can teach. I can't encourage you and say, you need more joy, you must have more joy. It's something that the Holy Spirit must do in our hearts. It's something that's birthed by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and it's something that's more a being than a feeling. Okay. Today is not a psych up session to say, okay, listen, we must have more joy. I cannot do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer and my purpose today is really just to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, to give us that joy of the Lord. Okay, so I just want to philosophize a bit about joy. What is joy? Is it a feeling? You know, I think many times we have this Christianese thing that we do in church, and we make it a religious thing. You know, if you are born again, you have to always smile, and you must always be happy, and you must always be joyful, and we make it kind of a rule when you come to church. You know, how is it going? No, it's going well. Now, and we don't leave that place open to really share how it's going, because you're a child of God, it must always go good. You know, we make it a rule. That's not true joy. I want to look at it from the other side a bit and just see what is not joy, okay? Can we say that joy is the opposite of being scared, the opposite of being depressed, anxious, hopeless, the opposite of being sad or having fear? And I just want to stand still here with fear. You know, if we say that joy is a place where fear is absent, I just want to read this. It's again from Oswald Chambers that he said is, the remarkable thing about fearing God, it's up there, yeah. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do fear God, you fear, no, wait, sorry. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So, can we say that, I'm philosophizing, I'm just throwing these questions that we can think. But can we say that when we fear God, we're one step closer to the joy of the Lord? Because if we fear God, we won't fear anything else. So we're actually one step closer to fearing God. Psalm 112 says, blessed is everyone that fear the Lord. Okay, so I thought about this a bit, about joy. You know, we can feel joyful, and then we can be joyful. Okay? So there's a place where we can feel happy and have a joyful feeling inside of us. But then there's a place where we can be joyful. And I wanna speak today about that being, because the being must always precede the feeling. You know, if we base our faith on the feeling joyful part, then every time we don't feel joyful, we have that risk of losing our faith. We have that risk of doubting God. But I want to speak today about the place of being joyful, where we know God. We know the joy of the Lord. And it's part of who we are. And from that place, we can operate. And I'm not saying that being joyful and being in God's joy is without emotion. Of course, emotion is a part of it. But it's actually the only true place where you actually feel true joy is when we operate in that truth of the joy of the Lord. Okay. So I want us to every one of us, just to quickly go to your, just think about your happy place. Okay, where's the place where you, that you enjoy, you know, where you can just take off your covers and just feel safe. You know, all those things I mentioned just now, where those things aren't there, you know. I just put a few slides up here. You know, maybe that's a nice place where you sit in front of the fire. Maybe you just want to sit in front of the fire with a book and a cup of coffee or a glass of red wine. You know, that's a very nice, happy place, you know. Or maybe it's just watching something on TV, you know, just switching off and just watching series or watching a good story on TV. Or maybe it's going out, walking your dog and just enjoying time in nature. Maybe it's playing board games with friends and just socializing around that. I know we love to do that also as a church. We don't get to do it so often. And what about a nice braai, you know, with friends? Just in that place where, you know, if you light that fire, if you smile it, you know, you're in your happy place, you know. nothing can touch you then. Yes. And then just another place. But I think when we think of our happy place, it's a place where you forget about the problems outside. You forget about tomorrow. You forget about the things you stress about. It's a place where you are safe, you know. It's a place where you are really, inside of you, really feeling happy. And the reason we feel happy is these things that surround us. You know, it's these things that surround us that we place ourselves in that place where we feel comfortable and really happy. Okay. So I want to burst your bubble a little bit today. But these things fade away. You know, if I think of my happy place 10 years ago, it's not even the same as it is today. You know, sometimes you look back at things that you did, you spend so much time on, and you think, how could I have watched Friends so many times? Or whatever, you know, you just go back and you realize that, listen, this happy place is a place that's not, it doesn't last, you know. As soon as that bell rings or the phone rings, then you're out of your happy place. You know, it's something that's not, it's not lasting. It fades away. And if we look at a bigger picture, you know, at the end of the day, our flesh will die, you know. And your happy place will die with it. Okay? So, you might want to stop me now and just say, okay, Lord, no, just let me enjoy my happy place, you know. And it's fine. It's fair enough. We can enjoy those things. There's nothing wrong with it. Except if the Holy Spirit is leading you not to watch too much series or whatever. Or watching the wrong stuff. But now I want us to imagine. Imagine you can take your happy place, that feeling that you have when you have in your happy place, when you are in your happy place. Imagine you can have that feeling wherever you go, throughout all the ups and downs of life, through your challenges at work, through that place where we see the world turning against God, facing all these things. Stay at that place of just being joyful. Let's call it joy from now on going forward. And I actually want to say it this way. We need to find the happy place, that happy place. We need to find a new happy place, in a sense, that will outlast all those things. And that's the happy place that we're going to speak about today. The key scripture that we have on our prayer and fasting for the sound of rejoicing is in Isaiah 26. It says that in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. You remember we say that we're surrounded by those things in our happy place. This scripture says that we're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. That's the joy that we're going to speak about today. Okay. So, I can get into it. I'm going to speak about 4 points, and I'm going to try to keep it brief and quick. I just want to mention at this time, we really believe that we need to respect each other's time, but when the Holy Spirit does something like today's worship as well, you know, we cannot quench that. You know, if God wants us to worship the whole day through, we have to be obedient to that and do that. But in the same breath, I want to say we really want to respect each other's times. We don't want to, come on, it open like most of the time. Okay. So the first thing I want to speak about is the simplicity of the gospel, and it's just that place of where we really just rejoice in the gospel, what Jesus came to do for us. The fact that we are broken. We are sinful, and Jesus came to make a way for us. Christianity is the only worldview that offers that. In any other religion, you have to work your way to a place where you are holy enough so that you are accepted into God's presence and into that life. But Jesus says that it's a gift. It's a gift from God that He came to give us on the cross. And just that simplicity of being excited about that, does it excite us to know that, you know, every time you step out of that front door of your house and go to work, that you are in a life full of abundance that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross freely, a gift that He gave us? The simplicity of the gospel. We sometimes make it so complicated. We sometimes add so many things that we need to do, and we just complicate it for ourselves. But just a simple gospel, just the fact that we have life in Jesus Christ, the fact that He did walk on this earth, He did make a way, and that He's alive today. That simple place of sitting on your bed in the morning and just praying, God, just help me today. Help me today, just guide me. And just experiencing the Holy Spirit guiding you through the day. That simplicity of just being in a relationship with God. That's the place I want to start today. It's just that place of being excited that you are saved. Being excited that you have life. And ask God for that joy. Ask God for the joy of that simplicity of the gospel. Because that's a basis on what we stand. If we miss that basic, and we go into all the other things that we sometimes get caught up into in our religious walk, if I can call it that, you know, we're bound to fall. But when we keep our foundation at that place of being joyful of what Jesus Christ has done, and I almost want to say that every time that we preach, we must preach the gospel. We can't preach once and let that pass. We always have to stand on that truth of Jesus Christ that came to this world to make a way for us. Amen. And as we take that onto ourselves, we have to have that revelation onto ourselves of that the simplicity of the gospel and make it our own. And from that place, we can rejoice for other salvation as well. The simplicity of the gospel in other people's lives. Get excited to know that, you know, we were once dead, but we are alive now. And I just want to read this from Luke 15. It's a parable that Jesus taught. He said that, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" This is a prodigal son coming back, realizing that the life out there without God, the life that we sometimes pursue with everything we have, the life of where we came to a place of doubting God and just thinking that, you know, I'll just give attention to God later in my life. I just want to go and live life now. From that place of being in the world and being caught up, just realizing again, God, it's better to be with you. It's better to be with you. You know, I always love it when Peter Allen shares his testimony, because he always says that, listen, he's walked the road now quite a while, but you know, and it's not always an easy road to walk. You know, it's tough to, it's a narrow road. The Bible says it's a narrow road to stay with God. But whenever he looks back to what he can compare the alternative to what he has now, it's just like, God, it's so awesome just to follow you. I cannot go back to the drag, to the stuff that I had to eat, the pig's food. I cannot go back to that. And in that place of just realizing this, the prodigal son says this verse. And then he said, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Let us be merry. For this is my son. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." That excitement if someone comes to God. That excitement when we can share in our simple way the gospel and people turn to God. Firstly for ourselves and then also for the people around us. That simple gospel of saying, listen, there's a life better than the life that we are living on this earth. There's a life to be lived on this earth in the presence of God, in the joy of God. The simplicity of the gospel. The next thing I want to speak about is the parable of the 100 sheep. And God leaving the 99 to go and look for the one lost sheep. Okay, let's read together. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I love it when I read stuff in scripture that makes me scratch my head. I used to don't like it a lot, I must be honest. But you know, God reveals his word, and we need to approach his word in the presence of the Holy Spirit and let the word come alive to us. But anyway, just to be really honest with you, I had to think a little bit about the scripture. You know, I told Rulin also, you know, when I read it, and as I was preparing, I thought, Rulin, how do you see this? You know, God leaving 99 behind to go and fetch one. You know, it's kind of, I need to dig into this. You know, I don't really understand, you know, how God can leave 99 to look for one. But we're going to get to the heart of this now. Okay, so the first thing that I want to mention to you is when we read scripture, we always have to look at the context of how it was said. Okay, Jesus was telling this parable. Okay, and I gaan net my bike uittrek. Ek kry nou warm. Sorry. Okay, so always when we read scripture, we have to go and look at the context of how this was written and who did Jesus speak to? In what setting was it? Okay? So the context of this. Ach, moenie worry nou nie. It's fine. Baie dankie. Rihanna's just married, so yeah, you can see she's doing very well. Eh? You see, we show the example also in church, you know, how it must be done. Rihanna, bye bye, thank you. Appreciate. Okay, so we have to look at the context of what setting it was that Jesus was speaking this parable. And to get that, I just want to go to a few verses before he started speaking this parable. It's in Luke 15, from verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, to hear him. Okay, so this is now Jesus, and the sinners came around him. Okay, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Okay, so this is the context, this is the setting. Jesus was out preaching the gospel and doing what he was doing, and there was these sinners, tax collectors, people that was low in society around him. Okay, now in those times the Pharisees were it was actually like kind of law. You can't be seen with these people or have a meal with them, for instance, because you undermine your own holiness in a sense when you do that. So the Pharisees were saying that this man is preaching the gospel, he's preaching to us and to everyone, but look what he's doing. You know, his life is like kind of not the way that it should be. You know, he's having a meal with sinners. So this is a context that Jesus wants to break that mindset of the Pharisees. He wants to break that. And that is why he told this parable. Okay. So the first thing that we can see is that that joy over salvation was not there for the Pharisees. They didn't see the fact that you must be joyful when someone comes to God. These sinners and tax collectors came to Jesus. They came to a place where they wanted to know the truth, where they were becoming saved, where they accepted God. And the Pharisees kind of put their group identity above that and said that, listen, these people aren't a part of our group. So, you know, they didn't have the joy of people coming to God. They didn't want more people to come to God. It was like their little clan, and they were God's people. And whoever else wanted to come in couldn't. And Jesus wanted to come and break that and say, listen, the gospel, the life God has isn't just for the holy people that is fit into that mold. It's for everyone. God's kingdom is for everyone. That is what he came to just try and break open there. So the context is very important. They did not have joy. And Jesus emphasized that joy that we must have when the lost sheep is found. Put the sheep on his shoulder, and he was rejoicing. He went home, he called everyone together, said, let's rejoice. The sheep was lost, and he's found again. Okay, he was explaining that he was actually telling that story so that the Pharisees could hear and break out of their mindset. Secondly, I want to mention that if we look at the 99 and the 1, God is interested in us as individuals. You know, God doesn't love you because you're part of church, or because you are, we all worship in the same way, or, you know, we kind of fit into a mold. God cares about each and every one of us individually. And that's so beautiful for me about the 99 and the one. He cares about the one. He cares about us individually, meeting him, intimacy, that one-on-one relationship that we can have with God. That's what he wants. From that place where we as individuals know God, we form church. We form a place where we can worship together and where we have things in common, not because we worship the same way or because we smile and have joy in the same way or spend a joyful verse. No, because we know Jesus and we know him intimately. That is what binds us in unity. It's that individual place of God having a relationship with each and every one of us, one-on-one. You know, if we look at the world, you know, there's so many group identities out there today, and people just standing on rights. And I can just mention a few. Like if you think of the feminist movement, and I mean, men are also guilty of that. You know, you put yourself in a place where you say, listen, because I'm a man, I can identify with this group, and if that is someone do it, that's just. What we as a group want. This is the rights that we as a group want. You think of racial groups, you know. In South Africa and Namibia, we know that too well, you know. Our racial groups, our that group identity has been placed so many times over the individuals. God says that he cares about the individual. He cares about each and every one of us, and he wants a relationship with you intimately. Amen. The third thing that I want to take out of this piece of scripture is repentance. If you've ever looked at a herd of sheep, when they are walking, you know, they're kind of walking and grazing and eating, and they follow the shepherd usually that walks with them. Okay, so the shepherd makes sure that they are all together and everything's safe, but they don't really think much further than just eating and just staying with the flock. You know, that's kind of what sheep do, you know. it's very simple. And I think Johannes also spoke about, he had that awesome thing about them following their shepherd and not being chased from behind. But they stay together. That's just the thing I want to mention, is that they stay together. Now, if you look at one sheep that are apart from the herd, that sheep knows that it's not where it should be. That sheep is like panicking, you know. It's very, yeah, you know. It's bleating and it's like kind of baying and just wanting to know where it should be, you know. That sheep knows that it's in trouble. And that's what I want to mention with repentance. You know, when we know we are in trouble, when we know that we need to repent of what we are busy with. When we know we are lost. Jesus says that there's more rejoicing over one person that repents over 99 that does not need repentance. They think they are fine and that they are just, you know, just carrying on. And I just had this, okay, I'll mention it just now. But I think many times as a group or as a church, you know, coming to church on a Sunday, we can get very comfortable and cozier. We forget about the lost sheep. We forget about going out and looking for the lost sheep. But not only that, we get so comfortable here that we forget to have repentant hearts. We forget to be at a place of always knowing that we are actually lost without God. We are actually at a place where if God is not part of what we're doing here on a Sunday or at small groups, if God's presence is not there, what are we doing? You know, we are lost sheep without God coming to save us. And that's something that we work out. We work out our salvation. It's something that we grow in. You know, it's not a place of I have arrived and now we're at church and it's not like you saw, you know, it's nice. It's a nice atmosphere and we don't know. It's always that place of brokenness before God. Always that place of having a repentant heart and saying, God, without you, I'm nothing. I cannot really do anything without you. I'm a sinful, filthy person without you. But God, because you are in my life, the word says that how is it possible for us to live a life into God's kingdom? It's not possible, but with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's what the scripture says. And that's the attitude of our hearts, is that repentant heart that we need to have. If we think we don't need repentance, then we must really go and sit down and think and take that before God. We are lost sheep that needs our shepherd. Amen. And then finally, I think, I was just thinking about this. Jesus invites us, but he actually commands us to go and look for the lost sheep. It's not actually a suggestion. He commands us to go and make disciples. And that, I just want to attach that to my previous thing of us being cozy. You know, I think we must really, when the lost sheep comes back into the herd, are we equipped to disciple? Are we equipped to say, listen, let's walk this road together to grow, to work out our salvation, and this road of discipleship? And I just had this... the thing that I've been thinking about the last time a lot is that, you know, us as a church, is our lives worth following? Is our lives worth following? And the conclusion that I currently have in my head for that is just that, listen, if we're going to lead people as God's church, and we're going to accept that lost sheep into our herd, we cannot just say, look at me and follow me and do what I do. Our hearts must always be to say, look where I look. And connect people to God, that individual place of each and every one of us being dependent on God, not on someone, not on a person. We cannot stand here and say, listen, do what I do. And then, you know, we just carry on like that. Look at me. No, look at where I look. And that is all that we can do is basically say, God, we're ready to accept that lost sheep in, but God, they need to be connected to you. They need to be hear the shepherd's voice. They cannot just follow other sheep. They need to hear the shepherd's voice. Are we equipped to receive that? And that actually takes a lot of pressure off that equipping, you know. We say that, listen, our best effort doesn't come attached to just one moment in God's presence in time of worship. Amen. The next piece of scripture I want to go to is the man that found the treasure in the field. It's also a parable that Jesus spoke. I'm going to read it from Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Okay, now this scripture applies to us where we as people find this kingdom of God and realize, come to the revelation of who Jesus is in our lives. And just realizing that, realizing the life that is in Christ and that it never ends, we are willing to lay down everything and go and buy that field so that we can have that treasure, so that we can have eternal life. And not only in a sense of, you know, one day we're going to die and go to heaven, but exchanging our lives now so that we can live in God's presence and His joy every single day. You know, every single day. It's not something that we say this treasure is something that we're going to have one day. It's a life of abundance that God has for you every day. And I just read a very interesting thing about the scripture is that, and I just want to share that with you also, is the other side of the scripture where it can portray God's heart towards us. And this is so beautiful for me. The kingdom of God, what is it? We can see the man that find this field or that buys this field as Jesus Christ coming to buy us out of this world. And when he found us in this world, we are like that treasure for him. We were created by God to be the object of God's love. And we are not experiencing that. Jesus came to buy this world back on the cross of Calvary, so that he can have that treasure, so that he can have us back in a relationship with him. Me and you being reconciled to God. How beautiful is that? Jesus coming to buy us back. Jesus coming to say, listen, I will go through all of this to make a way. You know, there were many plans that God made or tried that God put in place for us to have a relationship with Him. But there was one plan. But what I want to mention with that is that the climax of that plan was when Jesus Christ went to the cross. That was always God's plan, was to say that I want to reconcile you to me. You know, Jesus coming to die for us isn't just an optional thing. That is God's plan for us. That's a life that we must embrace and take into our lives. Jesus came to buy that field because we were in that field. Amen. We are precious to God. God really, really, really loves you. It's that place of just knowing that how God feels about you. I think sometimes we can put ourselves in a place where we can't see ourselves as that treasure. Now, it's sometimes difficult to see ourselves as that thing in this world that excites God. You know, we put ourselves in a place where we feel we are unworthy to be the treasure. God created us as the object of His love. He created us so that we can experience His love. That was what we were created for. Until we experience that, there will always be a longing. There will always be a longing in your life. Amen. And I just want to, this heart that God has for us, it just brings me to my last thing that I want to speak about today, and that is the joy of the Lord. And I just want to read from Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race which is set before us. Listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Enduring the cross, despising the shame, He endured because of the joy that was set before Him. What was this joy? The joy was not to be out of this place of pain and suffering and only to go out of that and be with God one day. It wasn't only that. It was that joy was you and me being reconciled to God. That was the joy that was set before Him. It was a place where we can be in a relationship with God again. That is the joy that was set before Him, and that's the joy that God is calling us to today. That joy of seeing people broken, seeing people needing a Savior, turning to God. That is the joy that He set before us today as well. That's a joy that was His strength to endure the cross and to give Him the courage to endure the cross. And it's the same joy that God is placing inside of us to say that, listen, I'm going to walk this road. I'm going to do it with everything I have because I want to see people come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and to that life of abundance. I just want to emphasize this by just reading from a few scriptures, just showing you that, you know, many times when we think of the joy of the Lord, then it's this thing of, you know, the joy that God bestows in us so that we can feel joyful, and then that is our strength. But when you think about that scripture, it says the joy of the Lord, God's joy. What is making God joyful? That is our strength. What is the thing that excites God? That is our strength. And that becomes our joy as well. But it's something that God has as a joy. It's not the joy of the Lord is not something that He deposits in us and then we feel, I'm contradicting myself. Sorry. It's not the joy that's primarily the thing that you feel when you think of the joy of the Lord that He gives you. No. It's the thing that makes God joyful. It's God's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And what is God's joy? Isaiah 65 verse 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. I joy in my people. Amen. people coming to the realization, reconciled to God. That is what is the joy of God. Isaiah 62 verse 5. For as a young man or young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. How beautiful. God rejoices over us. He loves us so much. And that is the thing that will, that is the happy place that will endure. If we pursue that place of just knowing that, man, we were dead, but we are not dead anymore. And just wanting that for each and every person that we come in contact with. Wanting that for each and every person that knowing that God wants it for each and every person, and that, you know, it changes the way we think about how we approach our colleagues completely. The way we approach our clients and our subcontractors and our patients and, you know, the people that we get in touch with every day. It changes the way that we engage in those conversations and in that those relationships. God's heart is that each and every one come to the knowledge of who he is and come into that individual, one-on-one, intimate relationship with him. That is the happy place that will never fade. That is the place. That is the joy that endures any up and down. Is if we know that, you know, we go out. I had this thing on my heart that God's just wrestling. I'm wrestling with it, but it's just to saying that don't be influenced in a sense that don't let things get you down because it's taking on your earthly or fleshly character. Don't let those things, those lies, actually take you down. That, and many times we put it in our own heads. You know, people say something and we make it grow in our heads. Don't let that influence you. Don't be influenced, but influence. And that's actually the heart of this, is that, listen, whenever you meet someone, there's that opportunity that they can meet Christ. And that is a joy. That is a true happy place. That place of just knowing that when someone just breaks before God, and when someone just sees the light and sees God, that is the true joy that never fades. I just want to end here, and I just want us to pray together. Johannes, come on. Kom so. We can just close our eyes, and I'm just going to pray for us. Lord God, I thank you, God, for your love, Lord. I thank you for your gospel, Lord Jesus, and for your sacrifice, Lord, your perfect sacrifice, Lord, to reconcile us to you, Lord. God, we stand here today in amazement, Lord, that we can know you, Lord. God, there's no place, Lord, that we would rather be, Lord, than in your presence, Lord, just in the place of knowing this, Lord. And God, in this world of uncertainty, Lord, in this world where there's so many choices, Lord, God, thank you that we can just simply turn to your truth, Lord. Thank you that we can just simply turn to who you are, Lord. While we just stay in this place of prayer and just keeping our eyes closed, I just want us to
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.